had to leave them up there. Waste of good shoes. So how do we get down? Tally pulled a power jack from her pack and pointed. We take the elevator. The big metal box sticking up from the roof looked like a storage shed, but the double doors and eye reader gave it away. Tally squinted, making sure the reader didn't flash her, and worked her power jack between the doors. They crumpled like foil. Through the doors, a dark shaft dropped away to nothingness. Tally clicked her tongue, and the echoes indicated that it was a long way down. She glanced at her collar light, still green. Tally turned to David. Wait for me to whistle. She stepped off into thin air. Falling down the shaft was much scarier than leaping off Garbo Mansion, or even flying into space from the hilltop. The darkness offered no clue how deep the shaft was, and it felt to Tally as if she might fall forever. She sensed the walls rushing past, and wondered if she was drifting toward one side as she fell, about to crash against it. She imagined herself bouncing from one wall to another, all the way down, coming to a soft landing, already broken and bleeding. Tally kept her arms close to her sides. At least she was sure the jacket would work in here. Elevators used the same magnetic lifters as any other hovercraft, so there was always a solid metal plate at the bottom. After a long count of five, the jacket gripped Tally. She bounced twice, straight up and down, then settled onto a hard surface and found herself in silence, an absolute blackness. Stretching out her hands, she felt the four walls around her. Nothing suggested the inside of closed doors. Her fingers came away greasy. Tally peered upward. A tiny shaft of light shone above, and she could just make out David's face peering down. She pursed her lips to whistle, but stopped. A muffled sound came from below her feet. Someone talking. She crouched, trying to grasp the words. But all Tally could hear was the razor sound of a cruel pretty's voice. The mocking tone reminded her of Dr. Cable. Without warning, the floor dropped out from under her. Tally struggled to keep her footing. When the elevator stopped again, one of her ankles twisted painfully under her weight, but she managed not to fall. The sound below her faded. One thing was certain now. The complex wasn't empty. Tally lifted her head and whistled, then huddled in one corner of the shaft, hands covering her head, counting. 5 seconds later, a pair of feet dangled next to her, then jerked back up, the beam of David's flashlight swinging around drunkenly. Gradually, he settled beside her. "Wow, it's dark down here." "Shh," she hissed. He nodded, sweeping the flashlight around the shaft. Just above them, it fell on the inside of closed doors. Of course. Standing on the elevator's roof, they were midway between floors. Tally interlaced her fingers, locking her hands together to give David a boost up to where he could wedge the power jack between the doors. They crumpled open with a metal screech that set her hair on end. He pulled himself through, then extended his hand back down to her. Tally grabbed it and pulled, her grippy shoes squeaking on the walls of the elevator shaft like a herd of panicked mice. Everything was making too much noise. The hallway was dark. Tally tried to convince herself that no one had heard them yet. Maybe this whole floor was empty at night. She pulled out her own flashlight, pointing it at the doors as they walked down the hall. Small brown labels marked each of them. Radiology. Neurology. Magnetic imaging, she read softly. Operating theater, too. She looked at David. He shrugged and gave the door a push. It opened. I guess when you're in an underground bunker, there's no point in locking up, he said. After you. Tally crept inside. The room was big, the walls lined with dark and silent machines. An operating tank stood in the middle. The liquid drained out of it, tubes and electrodes hanging loosely in a puddle at the bottom. A metal table glistened with the cruel shapes of knives and vibrosaws. "This looks like photos Mom showed me," David said. They do the operation here. Tally nodded. Doctors only put you in a tank if they were doing major surgery. Maybe this is where they make specials special, she said. The thought didn't cheer her up. They returned to the hall. A few doors later, they found a room labeled Morgue. Do you, she started to ask. David shook his head. No. They searched the rest of the floor. Basically, it was a small, well-equipped hospital. There were no torture chambers or prison cells, and no smokies. Where to now? Well, Tally said, if you were the evil Dr. Cable, where would you put your prisoners? The evil who? Oh, that's her name, the woman who runs this place. I remember from when I got busted. David frowned, and Tally wondered if she'd said too much. Then he shrugged. I guess I'd put them in the dungeon. Okay, down then. They found a set of fire stairs that led down, but they ended after only one flight. Apparently they had reached the bottom floor of special circumstances. Careful, Tally whispered. Before, I heard people getting out of the elevator below me. They must be somewhere down here. This floor was lit by a soft glow strip running down the middle of the hallway. A cold finger crept down Tally's spine as she read the labels on the doors. Interrogation room 1, interrogation room 2, isolation room 1, she whispered, her flashlight flickering across the words like an anxious firefly. Disorientation room 1. Oh, David, they must be down here somewhere. He nodded and pushed one of the doors softly, but it didn't budge. He ran his fingers around the edge, searching for a place where the power jack could get purchase. Don't let the eye reader flash you, Tally warned softly. She pointed at the little camera by the door. If it thinks it sees an eye, it'll read your iris and check with the big computer. It won't have any record of me. And that will freak it out totally. Just don't get too close. It's automatic. Okay, David said, nodding. These doors are too smooth anyway. No place to fit a jack in. Let's keep looking. Farther down the hall, a label caught Tally's eye. Long-term detention, she whispered. The door had a long expanse of blank wall on either side, as if the room behind it was bigger than the others. She put her ear to it, listening for any hint of sound. She heard a familiar voice. It was coming closer. David, she hissed, pulling away from the door and throwing herself against the wall. David looked around frantically for a place to hide. Both of them were in plain view. The door slid open, and Dr. Cable's malevolent voice poured out. You're simply not trying hard enough. You just have to convince her that... Dr. Cable, Tally said. The woman spun to face Tally, her hawk-like features twisted in surprise. I'd like to give myself up. Tally Youngblood? How? From behind, David's power jack thudded against the side of Dr. Cable's head, and she slumped to the floor. Is she... David stammered. His face was white. Tally knelt and turned Dr. Cable's head to inspect the wound. No blood, but she was out cold. No matter how formidable cruel pretties were, surprise still had its advantages. She'll be okay. Dr. Cable, what's going... Tally turned toward the voice, her eyes taking in the young woman before her. She was tall and elegant, every feature perfection. Her eyes deep and soulful, flecked with copper and gold, widened with a troubled look. Her generous lips parted wordlessly, and she raised one graceful hand. Tally's heart almost stopped at the beauty of her confusion. Then, recognition filled the woman's face, her broad smile illuminating the darkness, and Tally felt herself smiling in return. It felt good to make this woman happy. Tally, it is you. It was Shay. She was pretty. Rescue. Shay? You made it. Shay's stunning smile faded as she looked down at the crumpled form of Dr. Cable.
What's with her?
Tally blinked, awed by the transformation of her friend. Shay's beauty seemed to snuff out everything inside Tally. Her fear, surprise, and excitement fled, leaving nothing but amazement. You turned. Duh, she said. David, you're both okay.
Hi.
His voice was dry, his hands shaking as they gripped the power jack. We need your help, Shay.
Yeah, I guess you do.
She looked down at Dr. Cable again and sighed.
You guys still know how to make trouble, I see.
Tally averted her eyes from Shay's beauty, trying to focus her thoughts. Where's everyone else? David's parents? Croy?
Right in here.
Shay gestured over one shoulder.
All locked up. Dr. C has been totally bogus to us.
Keep her here, David said. He pushed past Shay and through the door. Tally saw a row of small doors inside the long room, each with a tiny window set in it. Shay beamed at her.
I'm so glad you're all right, Tally. The thought of you all alone in the wild? Of course, you weren't alone, were you?
Meeting Shay's eyes, Tally was overwhelmed all over again.
What did they do to you?
Shay smiled. Besides the obvious?
Yeah. I mean, no. Tally shook her head, not knowing how to ask Shay if she was brain damaged.
Are any of the rest of them
pretty? No, I got to be first, because I made the most trouble. You should have seen me kicking and biting, Shay chuckled.
They forced you.
Yeah, Dr. C can be a major pain. It's kind of a relief, though.
Tally swallowed. A relief?
Yeah, I hated this place. The only reason I'm here is that Dr. C wanted me to come by and talk to the Smokies.
You live in New Prettytown, Tally said softly. She tried to see past the beauty, to find whatever was behind Shay's wide, perfect eyes.
Yeah, I just came from the best party.
Tally finally heard how slurred Shay's words were. She was drunk. Maybe that was why she was acting so strangely. But she had called the others the Smokies. She wasn't one of them anymore.
You go to parties, Shay? While everyone here is locked up? Well, I guess so, Shay said defensively. I mean, they'll all get out once they turn. Once Cable gets over her stupid power trip.
She looked at the unconscious form on the floor and shook her head.
She's going to be in a bad mood tomorrow, though. Thanks to you two.
The sound of complaining metal came from the detention room. Tally heard more voices.
Of course, sounds like no one will be around to see it, Shay said. So, how are you two doing anyway?
Tally opened her mouth, closed it, then managed to answer. We're good.
That's great. Listen, sorry I was such a pain about all that. You know what uglies are like, Shay laughed. Well, of course you do.
So you don't hate me?
Don't be silly, Tally.
I'm glad to hear that. Of course, Shay's blessing was meaningless. It wasn't forgiveness, just brain damage.
You did me a big favor, getting me out of that smoke place.
You can't really believe that, Shay.
What do you mean?
How could you change your mind so quickly?
Shay laughed. It took exactly one hot shower to change my mind.
She reached out and touched Tally's hair, tangled and knotted from 2 weeks of camping out and riding all day.
Speaking of showers, you are a total mess.
Tally blinked. Hot tears were forcing themselves into her eyes. Shay had wanted so much to keep her own face, to live on her own terms outside the city. But that desire had been extinguished.
I didn't mean to betray you, she said softly.
Shay glanced over her shoulder, then turned back and smiled.
He doesn't know that you are working for Dr. C, does he?
Don't worry, Tally, she whispered, putting one elegant finger to her lips.
Your ugly little secret is safe with me.
Tally swallowed, wondering if Shay had found out the whole story. Maybe Dr. Cable had told them all what she'd done. A buzzing sound came from beside Dr. Cable. On the work tablet she'd been carrying, a request light blinked with an incoming call. Tally picked up the tablet and handed it to Shay. Talk to them.
Shay winked, pressed a button, and said, Hey, it's me, Shay. No, I'm sorry, Dr. Cable's busy. Doing what? Well, it's complicated.
She muted the device. Shouldn't you be rescuing people or something, Tally?
That is the point of this little trick, right?
You'll stay here?
Duh, this looks bubbly. Just because I'm pretty doesn't mean I'm totally boring.
Tally brushed past her and into the room. Two doors had been ripped open. David's mother and another Smokey freed. The two were dressed in orange jumpsuits, with stunned and sleepy looks on their faces. David was working another door, his power jack thrust into a small slot at floor level. Tally saw Croy's face peering wide-eyed through one of the tiny windows and planted her power jack under his door. It whined to life, and the thick metal screeched as it bent upward.
David, they know something's up, she called. Okay, we're almost done here.
Her jack had wrenched a small gap in the metal, not big enough. Tally reset the tool, and the metal groaned again. Her days of pulling up railroad ties soon paid off, the jack tearing a hole the size of a doggy door. Croy's arms appeared, then his head, his jumpsuit ripping on jagged spurs of metal as he wriggled. Maddie grabbed his hands and pulled him through.
That's everyone who's left, she said. Let's go.
What about Dad? David cried.
We can't help him.
Maddie ran into the hall. Tally and David shared an anxious look and followed. Maddie was dashing down the hall toward the elevator, dragging Shay by the wrist behind her. Shay stabbed the tablet's talk button and said,
Wait a second. I think she's just coming back now. Hold, please.
She giggled and muted the device again.
Bring Cable, Maddie called. We need her.
Mom! David ran after her. Tally looked at Croy, then down at Dr. Cable's crumpled form. Croy nodded, and they each took a wrist, dragging the woman along the slick floor at a trot, Tally's grippy shoes squealing. When the party reached the elevator, Maddie grabbed Dr. Cable by the collar and pulled her up to the eye reader. The woman groaned once, softly. Maddie carefully pried open one of her eyes, and the elevator pinged, its doors sliding open. Maddie tugged off the doctor's interface ring and dropped her to the floor, then pulled Shay inside. Tally and the other Smokies followed, but David stood his ground.
Mom, where's Dad?
We can't help him. Maddie yanked the tablet away from Shay and cracked it against the wall, then pulled David in against his protests. The doors closed, and the elevator asked,
Which floor?
Roof, Maddie said, the interface ring still in her hand. The elevator began to move, Tally's ears complaining at the swift ascent.
What's our escape plan? Maddie snapped.
The glazed look was completely gone from her eyes, as if she'd gone to sleep last night expecting to be rescued this morning.
Hoverboards, Tally managed to answer.
Four of them. Realizing that she hadn't done so yet, Tally adjusted her crash bracelets to call them in.
Oh, cool, Shay said. You know, I haven't been boarding since I left the smoke.
There's seven of us, Maddie said. Tally, you take Shay. Asterix and Ride, double up. Croy, you go alone and throw them off track. David, I'll ride with you.
Mom, David pleaded, if he's pretty, can't you cure him? Or at least try?
Your father's not pretty, David, she answered softly. He's dead. Getaway. Give me a knife. Maddie held out her hand, ignoring the shocked look on her son's face. Tally scrambled through her knapsack. She passed her multi-knife to Maddie, who'd pulled out a short blade and cut a piece from the arm of her jumpsuit. When the elevator reached roof level, its door slid halfway open and groaned to a halt, revealing the uneven hole Tally had torn to gain entry. They slipped through one by one and ran for the edge of the roof. 100 meters away, Tally saw the hoverboards cruising across the compound, called by her crash bracelets. Alarms were ringing all around them now. If by some magic the specials hadn't noticed the escape so far, the riderless boards had tripped the wire. Tally spun around, looking for David. He was stumbling along the back of the group, half in a daze. She caught him by his shoulders. "I'm so sorry." He shook his head, not at her, not at anything in particular. "I don't know what to do, Tally." She took his hand. "We have to run. That's all we can do right now. Follow your mother." He looked into her eyes, his face wild. "Okay." He started to say more, but the words were drowned out by a noise like huge fingernails scraping metal. The hover car door was fighting against the nanotech glue, setting the whole roof shuddering. Maddie, last out of the elevator, had jimmied its door open with a power jack. Its voice kept repeating, "Elevator requested." But there were other ways onto the roof. Maddie turned to David. "Glue down those hatches so they can't get out." His gaze cleared for a moment, and he nodded. "I'll get the boards," Tally said, turning to dash for the edge of the roof. When she reached it, she jumped into space, hoping her bungee jacket still had some charge. After one bounce, Tally was on the ground running. The boards sensed her crash bracelets and sped toward her. "Tally, look out!" She looked over her shoulder at Croy's shout. A squad of specials was headed toward her across the compound, an open door behind them at ground level. They ran inhumanly fast, covering the ground with long, loping strides. The boards nudged her calves from behind, like dogs ready to play. Tally leaped up, teetering for a moment with one foot on each pair of sandwich boards. She'd never heard of anyone riding 4 boards at once. But the closest Cruel Pretty was only a few strides away. Tally snapped her fingers and rose swiftly into the air. The special jumped, amazingly high, the fingers of one outstretched hand just brushing the front edge of the boards. The contact set them wobbling beneath Tally. It was like standing on a trampoline while someone else jumped on it. The other specials watched from the ground below, waiting for her to fall. But Tally regained her balance and leaned forward, heading back toward the building. The boards picked up speed, and seconds later, Tally leaped off onto the roof, kicking one pair of hoverboards to Croy. He pulled them apart while she separated the other two. "Go now," Maddie said. "Take this." She handed Tally a swatch of orange fabric, a small bit of circuitry visible on one side. Tally noticed that Maddie had cut pieces from the forearms of all the jumpsuits. "There's a tracker in that cloth," Maddie said. "Drop it somewhere to throw them off." Tally nodded, looking around for David. He was running toward them, his face set into a grim mask, the tube of glue crushed and empty in his hand. "David," she started. "Go," Maddie shouted, pushing Shay onto the board behind Tally.
"No crash bracelets," Shay said, her feet unsteady. "This is not my first party tonight, you know."
"I know. Hold on," Tally said, and shot away from the roof. The two of them teetered for a moment, almost losing their balance. But Tally steadied herself, feeling Shay's arms wrap tightly around her waist.
"Whoa, Tally, slow down."
"Just hang on." Tally leaned into a turn, sickened by the sluggishness of the board. Not only was it carrying 2, but Shay's wobbly moves were freaking it out. "Don't you remember how to ride?"
"Sure," Shay said, "just a little rusty, Squint. Plus a little too much drink tonight."
"Just don't fall off. It'll hurt."
"Hey, I didn't ask to be rescued."
"No, I guess you didn't." Tally looked down as they soared over Crumblyville, skipping the green belt to head straight back toward the river. If Shay hit the ground at this speed, she'd be worse than hurt. She'd be dead. Like David's father. Tally wondered how he'd died. Had he tried to escape the specials like the boss?
or had Dr. Cable done something to him? One thought stuck in her mind. However it had happened, it was her fault.
Shay, if you fall off, take me with you.
What?
Just hold on to me and don't let go no matter what. I'm wearing a bungee jacket and bracelets. We should bounce.
Probably. Unless the jacket pulled her one way and the bracelets the other. Or Tally's and Shay's combined weight was too much for the lifters.
So give me the bracelets, silly.
Tally shook her head. No time to stop.
Guess not. Our special friends are going to be royally pissed.
Shay clung tighter. They were almost at the river, with no sign of pursuit behind them. The nanotech glue must have been putting up quite a fight. But special circumstances had other hover cars, the three they'd seen leave earlier, at least, and regular wardens had them too. Tally wondered if special circumstances would call for help from the wardens, or whether they'd keep the whole situation a secret. What would the wardens think of the underground prison? Did the regular city government know what the specials had done to the smoke? Or to Az? Water flashed below her, and Tally dropped the swatch of orange cloth as they turned. It fluttered away, down toward the river. The current would take it back toward the city, in the opposite direction of their escape route. Tally and David had agreed to rendezvous upriver, a long way past the ruins, where he had found a cave years before. Because its entrance was covered by a waterfall, it would shelter them from the heat sensors. From there, they could hike back to the ruins to retrieve the rest of their equipment, and then rebuild the smoke? 7 of them? Was Shay as their honorary pretty? Tally realized that they hadn't made plans beyond tonight. The future hadn't seemed real until now. Of course, they still might all be caught.
You think it's true? Shay shouted. What Maddie said?
Tally dared a glance back at Shay. Her pretty face looked worried.
I mean, Az was fine when I visited a few days ago, Shay said. I thought they were going to make him pretty, not kill him.
I don't know. It was hardly something Maddie would lie about, but maybe she was mistaken. Tally leaned forward, skimming the river low and fast, trying to leave the cold feeling in her stomach behind. Spray struck their faces as they hit the white water. Shay had started to ride properly, leaning with the slow arcs of the river bends.
Hey, I remember this, she shouted. Do you remember anything else from before your operation?
Tally yelled over the roar of the water. Shay ducked behind Tally as they struck a wall of spray.
Of course, silly.
You hated me. Because I stole David from you. Because I betrayed the smoke. Remember? Shay was silent for a moment. Only the roar of white water and the rushing wind around them. Finally, she leaned closer, her voice thoughtful in Tally's ear.
Yeah, I know what you mean. But that was all ugly stuff. Crazy love and jealousy and needing to rebel against the city. Every kid's like that. But you grow up, you know?
You grew up because of an operation? Doesn't that strike you as weird?
It wasn't because of the operation.
Then why?
It was just good to come home, Tally. It made me realize how crazy the whole smoke thing was.
What happened to biting and kicking?
Well, it took a few days to sink in, you know?
Before or after you became pretty? Shay went silent again. Tally wondered if you could talk somebody out of their brain damage. She pulled a position finder from her pocket. The coordinates for the cave were still a half an hour away. A glance over her shoulder didn't reveal any hover cars. Not yet. If all 4 boards took different routes to the river, and all of them dropped their trackers in different places, the specials were going to have a confusing night. There were also Dex, Ceci, and Anne, who'd promised to tell every tricky ugly they knew to go for a ride tonight. The Greenbelt would be crowded. Tally wondered how many uglies had seen the burning letters in New Prettytown. How many of them knew what the smoke was, or were coming up with their own stories to explain the mysterious message. What new legends had she and David created with their little diversion? When they reached a calmer part of the river, Shay spoke up again. So, Tally.
Yeah?
Why do you want me to hate you?
I don't want you to hate me, Shay, Tally sighed. Or maybe I do. I betrayed you, and I feel horrible about it.
The smoke wasn't going to last forever, Tally, whether you turned us in or not.
I didn't turn you in, Tally cried. Not on purpose, anyway. And the whole thing with David was just an accident. I didn't mean to hurt you.
Of course not. You're just confused.
I'm confused? Tally groaned. You're the one who...
She trailed off.
How could Shay not understand that she'd been changed by the operation? Not just been given a pretty face, but also a pretty mind. Nothing else could explain how quickly she'd changed, abandoning the rest of them for parties and hot showers, leaving her friends behind, just as Paris had so many months ago.
Do you love him? Shay asked.
David? Maybe.
That's sweet.
It's not sweet. It's real.
Then why are you ashamed of it?
I'm not, Tally sputtered. She lost concentration for a moment, and the back of the board dipped low, sending a sheet of water up behind them. Shay whooped and held tighter. Tally gritted her teeth and took them a bit higher. When Shay had stopped laughing, she said,
And you think I'm confused?
Listen, Shay, there's one thing I'm not confused about. I didn't want to betray the smoke. I was blackmailed into going there as a spy, and when I sent for the specials, it was an accident, really. But I'm sorry, Shay. I'm sorry I ruined your dream. Tally felt herself crying, the tears driven backward by the wind. The trees rushed past in the darkness for a while.
I'm just glad you two made it back to civilization, Shay said softly, holding on tight. And I'm not sorry about what happened, if that makes you feel any better.
Tally thought of the lesions on Shay's brain, the tiny cancers, or wounds, or whatever they were, that she didn't even know she had. They were in there somewhere, changing her friend's thoughts, warping her feelings, gnawing at the roots of who she was, making her forgive Tally.
Thanks, Shay, but no, it doesn't.
Night Alone. Tally and Shay made it to the cave first. Croy arrived a few minutes later. Without warning, he and his board hurtling through the waterfall in a sudden explosion of splashing and cursing. He tumbled into the darkness, his body rolling across the stone floor with a series of sickening thuds. Tally scrambled from the back of the cave, a flashlight in one hand. Croy shook his head and groaned.
I lost them.
Tally looked at the entrance of the cave, the sheet of water a solid curtain against the night.
I hope so. Where's everybody else?
Don't know. Maddie told us all to go different ways. Since I was flying solo, I went all the way around the greenbelt first to get them off track. He laid his head back, still panting. A position finder fell from one of his hands.
Wow, you went fast.
You're telling me, no crash bracelets.
Been there. At least you had shoes on, Tally said.
Did anyone chase you?
He nodded. I held on to my tracker as long as I could. Got most of the specials to follow me. But there were a whole bunch of hoverboard riders in the belt. You know, city kids. The specials kept getting us confused.
Tally smiled. Dex, Anne, and Sussy had done their work well.
Are David and Maddie okay?
I wouldn't know about okay, he said softly. But they got off right after you, and it didn't look like anyone was following them. Maddie said they were heading straight for the ruins. We're supposed to meet them there tomorrow night.
Tomorrow? Tally said.
Maddie wanted to be alone with David for a while, you know?
Tally nodded, but her heart wrenched inside her. David needed her. At least, she hoped he did. The thought of him dealing with Az's death without her made the icy feeling in her stomach drop a few more degrees. Of course, Maddie was there,
as had been her husband, after all, and Tally had only met the man once. But still. She sighed. Tally tried to remember the last word she'd said to David, and wished they'd been more comforting. There hadn't even been time to hold him. Since the invasion of the smoke, Tally hadn't been separated from David for longer than an hour in the storm, and now she wouldn't see him for a whole day. Maybe I should go to the ruins. I could hike out there tonight. Don't be crazy, Croy said. The specials are still out looking. But just in case they need anything, Maddie said to tell you no. Asterix and Ride showed up a half hour later, coming into the cave more gracefully than Croy, but with their own stories of running from hover cars. The pursuit had been confused, the specials overwhelmed by everything that had happened that night. They never even got close, Asterix said. Ride shook his head. They were all over the place. It's like we won a battle, you know, Croy said. We beat them in their own city, made them look like fools. Maybe we don't have to hide in the wild anymore, Ride said. It could be like when we were uglies, playing tricks, but telling the whole city the truth. And if we get caught, Tally can come and rescue us, Croy shouted. Tally tried to smile at their cheers, but knew she wouldn't feel good about anything until she saw David again. Not until tomorrow night. She felt exiled, shut out from the one thing that really mattered. Shay had fallen asleep in a small crevice after complaining about the dampness and her hair, asking when they were going to take her home. Tally crawled back to where her friend lay and snuggled up next to her, trying to forget the damage that had been done to Shay's mind. At least Shay's new body wasn't as painfully skinny. She felt soft and warm in the damp cold of the cave. Cradled against her, Tally managed to stop shivering. But it was a long time before she fell asleep. She woke up to the smell of pad thai. Croy had found the food packets and purifier in her knapsack and was making food with water from the fall, apparently trying to placate Shay. A little escape was one thing, but I didn't know you guys were going to drag me all the way out here. I'm through with this whole rebellion thing. I've got a wicked hangover, and I really need to wash my hair. That's a waterfall right there, Croy said. But it's cold. I'm so over this camping out bogusness. Tally crawled out into the big part of the cave, every muscle stiff, every rock she'd slept on imprinted on her. Through the curtain of the waterfall, dusk was falling. She wondered if she'd ever be able to sleep at night again. Shay was squatting on a rock, digging into the pad thai, complaining that it wasn't spicy enough. Bedraggled, in dirty party clothes, her hair stuck to her face, she was still stunning. Ride and Asterix watched her silently, a bit awestruck by her looks. They were two of Shay's old friends who'd run away to the smoke the time she'd chickened out, so it must have been months since they'd seen a pretty face. Everyone seemed willing to let her go on complaining. One thing about being pretty, people put up with your annoying habits. Morning, said Croy. Swede balls or veggie rice? Whatever's faster. Tally stretched her muscles. She wanted to get to the ruins as soon as possible. When darkness fell, Tally and Croy crept out from behind the waterfall. There was no sign of specials in the sky. She doubted anyone was searching this far out. 40 minutes from the city on a fast board was a long way. They gave the all clear, and everyone rode farther upriver, to a place where the river's course twisted closer to the ruins. A long hike followed, the four uglies sharing the load of boards and supplies. Shay had stopped complaining, settling into a pouty, hungover silence. The walk seemed easy for her. Her wiry fitness from hard work at the smoke hadn't faded in 2 weeks, and the operation actually firmed up a new pretty's muscles, at least for a while. Although Shay announced once that she wanted to go home, heading back on her own didn't seem to have entered her mind. Tally wondered what they were going to do with her. She knew there was no simple fix. Maddie and Az had worked for 20 years to no avail, but they couldn't leave Shay like this. Of course, the moment she was cured, her hatred for Tally would return. Which was worse, a friend with brain damage
or one who despised you.
They reached the edge of the ruins after midnight and boarded down to the abandoned building where Tally and David had camped. David was waiting outside. He looked exhausted, the dark lines under his eyes visible even in starlight. But he embraced Tally the moment she stepped from the board, his arms tight around her, and she hugged him back hard.
"Are you okay?"
she whispered, then felt idiotic. What was he supposed to say to that?
"Oh, David, of course you're not. I'm sorry, I..."
"Shh. I know." He pulled away and smiled. Relief flowed through Tally, and she squeezed David's hands, confirming the realness of him.
"I missed you," she said.
"Me too." He kissed her.
"You two are just so cute," Shay said, combing her hair with her fingers after the windy ride.
"Hi, Shay." David gave her a tired smile. "You guys look hungry."
"Only if you have any non-bogus food," Shay said.
"Afraid not. 3 kinds of reconstituted curry."
Shay groaned and pushed past him into the crumbling building.
His eyes followed her, but without any of the awe still in Ride's and Asterix's faces. It was as if David didn't see her beauty.
He turned back.
"We finally got some luck." Tally looked into his lined, fatigued face.
"Really?"
"We got that tablet working, the one Dr. Cable was carrying. Mom was yanking the phone part out so they couldn't track us through it, and she got it to display Cable's work data."
"About what?"
"All her notes on making pretties into specials. Not just the physical part," he pulled her closer, "but also how the brain lesions work. It's everything my parents weren't told when they were doctors."
Tally swallowed.
"Shay." He nodded. "Mom thinks she can find a cure."
Hippocratic Oath. They stayed at the edge of the rusty ruins. Occasionally, hover cars would pass over the crumbling city. But the Smokies were old hands at hiding from satellites and aircraft. They placed red herrings across the ruins, chemical glow sticks that gave off human-sized pockets of heat, and covered the windows of their building with sheets of black mylar. And of course the ruins were very large. Finding 7 people in what had once been a city of millions was no simple matter. Every night, Tally watched the influence of the new smoke grow. A lot of uglies had seen the burning message on the night of the escape, or had heard about it, and the nightly pilgrimages out to the ruin slowly increased, until sparklers waved atop high buildings from midnight until dawn. Tally, Ride, Croy, and Asterix made contact with the city uglies, starting new rumors, teaching new tricks, and offering glimpses of the ancient magazines the boss had salvaged from the smoke. If they doubted the existence of special circumstances, Tally showed them the plastic handcuff bracelet still encircling her wrists, and invited them to try to cut the cuffs off. One new legend towered above the rest. Maddie had decided that the brain lesions couldn't be kept a secret anymore. Every ugly had the right to know what the operation really entailed. Tally and the others spread the rumor among their city friends. Not just your face was changed by the knife. Your personality, the real you inside, was the price of beauty. Of course, not every ugly believed such an outrageous tale. But a few did. And some sneaked across to New Prettytown in the dead of night to talk to their older friends face to face, and decided for themselves. The specials sometimes tried to crash the party, setting traps for the new Smokies, but someone always gave a warning, and no hover car could ever catch a board among winding streets and rubble. The new Smokies learned the nooks and crannies of the ruins as if they'd been born there, until they could disappear in a heartbeat. Maddie worked on the brain cure, using materials salvaged from the ruins or brought by city uglies willing to borrow from hospitals and chem classes. She withdrew from the rest of them, except for David. She seemed particularly cool to Tally,
who felt guilty for every moment she spent with David, now that his mother was alone. None of them ever talked about Az's death. Shay stayed with them, complaining about the food, the ruins, her hair and clothes, and having to look at all the ugly faces around her. But she never seemed bitter, only perpetually annoyed. After the first few days, she didn't even talk about leaving. Perhaps the brain damage made her pliant, or the fact that she hadn't lived in New Prettytown for long. She still remembered them all as friends. Tally wondered if Shay secretly enjoyed having the only pretty face in their little rebellion. Certainly, she didn't do any more work than she would have in the city. Ride and Asterix obeyed her every command. David helped his mother, searching the ruins for salvage, and taught wilderness survival tricks to any ugly who wanted to learn. But in the 2 weeks after his father's death, Tally found herself missing the days when it had been just the two of them. 20 days after the rescue, Maddie announced that she had found a cure. Shay, I want to explain this to you carefully. Sure, Maddie. When you had the operation, they did something to your brain. Shay smiled. Yeah, right. She looked across at Tally, wearing a familiar expression. That's what Tally keeps telling me, but you guys don't understand. Maddie folded her hands. What do you mean? I like the way I look, Shay insisted. I'm happier in this body. You want to talk about brain damage? Look at you all, running around these ruins playing commando. You're all full of schemes and rebellions, crazy with fear and paranoia, even jealousy. Her eyes skipped back and forth between Tally and Maddie. That's what being ugly does. And how do you feel, Shay? Maddie asked calmly. I feel bubbly. It's nice not being all raging with hormones. Of course, it kind of sucks being out here instead of in the city. No one's keeping you here, Shay. Why haven't you left? Shay shrugged. I don't know. I'm worried about you guys, I guess. It's dangerous out here, and messing with specials isn't a good idea. You should know that by now, Maddie. Tally took a sharp breath, but Maddie's expression didn't change. And you're going to protect us from them? She asked calmly. Shay shrugged. I just feel bad about Tally. If I hadn't told her about the smoke, she'd be pretty right now instead of living in this dump. And I figure eventually she'll decide to grow up. We'll go back together. You don't seem to want to decide for yourself. Decide what? Shay rolled her eyes, looking at Tally to confirm what a bore this was. The two of them had plowed through this conversation a dozen times before, until Tally had realized there was no convincing Shay that her personality had changed. To Shay, her new attitude was simply the result of growing up, moving on, leaving all the overheated emotions of ugliness behind. You weren't always this way, Shay, David said. No, I used to be ugly. Maddie smiled gently. These pills won't change the way you look. They'll only affect your brain, undoing what Dr. Cable did to the way your mind works. Then you can decide for yourself how you want to look. Decide? After you've messed with my brain? Shay, Tally said, forgetting her promise to remain silent. We're not the ones messing with your brain. Tally, David said softly. That's right. I'm the one who's crazy. Shay's voice took on the tone of her daily round of complaining. Not you guys who live in a broken-down building on the edge of a dead city, slowly turning into freaks when you could be beautiful. Yeah, I'm crazy, all right. For trying to help you. Tally sat back and crossed her arms, silenced by Shay's words. Whenever they had this conversation, reality became a little unhinged, as if she and the other new Smokies might really be the insane ones. It felt like Tally's horrible first days in the smoke, when she hadn't known whose side she was on. How are you helping us, Shay? Maddie asked calmly. I'm trying to get you to understand. Just like you did when Dr. Cable used to bring you by my cell? Shay's eyes narrowed, confusion clouding her face. as if her memories of the underground prison didn't fit in with the rest of her pretty worldview.
"I know Dr. C was horrible to you," she said. "The specials are psychos. Just look at them. But that doesn't mean you have to spend your whole lives running away. That's what I'm saying. Once you turn, specials won't mess with you."
"Why not?"
"Because you won't make trouble anymore."
"Why not?"
"Because you'll be happy."
Shay took a couple of deep breaths, and her usual calm returned. She smiled, beautiful again.
"Like me."
Maddie picked up the pills on the table in front of her.
"You won't take these willingly?"
"No way. He said they're not even safe."
"I said there was a small chance something could go wrong."
Shay laughed. "You must think I'm nuts. And even if those pills work, look what they're supposed to do.
From what I can tell, cured means being a jealous, self-important, whiny little ugly brain. It means thinking you've got all the answers."
She crossed her arms.
"In a lot of ways, you and Dr. Cable are alike. You're both convinced you've personally got to change the world."
"Well, I don't need that. And I don't need those."
"Okay, then."
Maddie picked up the pills and put them in her pocket.
"That's all I have to say."
"What do you mean?" Tally asked.
David squeezed her hand.
"That's all we can do, Tally."
"What? You said we could cure her."
Maddie shook her head.
"Only if she wants to be cured. These are experimental, Tally. We can't give them to someone against her will. Not when we don't know if they'll work."
"But her mind. She's got the lesions."
"Hello," Shay called. "She is sitting right here."
"Sorry, Shay," Maddie said mildly. "Tally?" Maddie pulled aside the mylar barrier, stepping out onto what the new Smokies called the balcony. It was really just part of the top floor of the building, where the roof had entirely collapsed, leaving sweeping views of the ruins. Tally followed. Behind her, Shay was already talking about what was for dinner. David came out a moment later.
"So we give her the pills secretly, right?" Tally whispered.
"No," Maddie said firmly. "We can't. I'm not going to do medical experiments on unwilling subjects."
"Medical experiments?" Tally swallowed.
David took her hand.
"You can't know for sure how something like this will work. It's only a 1% chance, but it could screw up her brain forever."
"It's already screwed up."
"But she's happy, Tally." David shook his head. "And she can make decisions for herself." Tally pulled her hand away, staring out over the city. A sparkler was already showing on the tall spire. Uglies come to gossip and trade.
"Why did we even have to ask? They didn't get her permission when they did this to her."
"That's the difference between us and them," Maddie said. "After Az and I found out what the operation really meant, we realized we'd been party to something horrible. People had had their minds changed without their knowledge. As doctors, we took an ancient oath never to do anything like that."
Tally looked into Maddie's face.
"But if you weren't going to help Shay, why did you bother finding a cure?"
"If we knew the treatment would work safely, then we could give it to Shay and see how she felt about it later. But to test it, we need a willing subject."
"Where are we ever going to find one? Anyone who's pretty is going to say no."
"Maybe for right now, Tally. But if we keep making inroads into the city, we might find a pretty who wants out."
"But we know Shay's crazy."
"She's not crazy," Maddie said. "Her arguments make sense, in fact. She's happy as she is and doesn't want to take a deadly risk.
But she's not really herself. We have to change her back."
"Az died because someone thought like that," Maddie said grimly.
"What?"
David put his arm around her.
"My father."
He cleared his throat, and Tally waited in silence. Finally, he would tell her how Az had died. He took a slow breath before continuing.
Dr. Cable wanted to turn them all. But she was worried that Mom and Dad might talk about the brain lesions, even after the operation, because they'd been focused on them for so long. David's voice trembled, but it was soft and careful, as if he didn't dare put any emotion into the words. Dr. Cable was already working on ways to change memories, a way of erasing the smoke forever from people's minds. When they took my father for the operation, he never came back.
That's awful, Tally whispered. She gathered him into a hug.
Az was the victim of a medical experiment, Tally, Maddie said. I can't do the same thing to Shay. Otherwise, she'd be right about me and Dr. Cable.
But Shay ran away. She didn't want to become pretty.
She doesn't want to be experimented on either.
Tally closed her eyes. Through the mylar shade, she could hear Shay telling Ride about the hairbrush she'd made. For days, she'd proudly shown the little brush, made of splinters of wood shoved into a lump of clay, to anyone who would listen. As if it were the most important thing she'd ever done. They had risked everything to rescue her, but they had nothing to show for it. She would never be the same. And it was all Tally's fault. She'd come to the smoke, and had brought the specials, leaving Shay an empty-headed pretty, and Az dead. She took a deep breath.
Okay, you've got a willing subject.
What do you mean, Tally?
Me.
Confessions.
What? David said.
You're taking the pills won't prove anything, Tally, Maddie said. You don't have the lesions.
But I will have them. I'll go back to the city and get caught, and Dr. Cable will give me the operation. In a few weeks, you come and get me. Give me the cure. You've got your subject.
The three of them stood there in silence. The words had poured out of Tally on their own accord. She could hardly believe she'd uttered them.
Tally, David shook his head. That's crazy.
It's not crazy. You need a willing subject. Someone who agrees before they become pretty that they want to be cured. Experimental or not. It's the only way.
You can't give yourself up, David cried.
Tally turned toward Maddie. You said you're 99% sure these pills will work, right?
Yes, but the 1% could leave you a vegetable, Tally.
1%? Compared to breaking into special circumstances, that's a breeze.
Tally, stop it. David took her shoulders. It's too dangerous.
Dangerous? David, you can get across into New Pretty Town, no problem. City uglies do it all the time. Just grab me out of my mansion and stick me on a board.
I'll come with you, just like Shay did. Then you cure me.
What if the specials decide to change your memory, like they did my father's?
They won't, Maddie said. David stared at his mother in surprise.
They didn't bother with Shay. She remembers the smoke just fine. Az and I were the only ones they worried about. Because we'd been focused on the brain lesions for half our lives, they figured we'd never shut up about them, even as pretties.
Mom, David cried. Tally's not going anywhere.
And besides, Maddie continued, Dr. Cable wouldn't do anything to hurt Tally.
Stop talking like this is going to happen.
Tally looked into Maddie's eyes. The woman nodded. She knew.
David, Tally said, I have to do this.
Why?
Because of Shay. It's the only way that Maddie will cure her, right?
Maddie nodded.
You don't have to save Shay, David said slowly and evenly. You've done enough for her. You followed her to the smoke, rescued her from special circumstances.
Yeah, I've done a lot for her, Tally took a breath. I'm the reason she's like this, pretty and brainless.
David shook his head.
What are you talking about?
She turned to him, taking his hand.
David, I didn't come to the smoke just to make sure Shay was okay. I came to bring her back to the city, she sighed.